T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
San Francisco skyline. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Let me tell you, everybody wants to talk to Kevin Harlan. That's pretty much the way it goes around here. When we know he's in town, producers start fighting over who gets to book him. Guess who won the fight today? Up high, down hard, Kevin Harlan. Good to talk to you, man.
How are you, Damon? Good to be on with you. Great to be here. Kind of a rainy day in the Bay Area, but nonetheless fun to be here and a lot going on here.
Obviously, there is. You're in town for Warriors and Lakers on TNT tonight, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But we got to start with the big news that Chip Kelly is coming to town. Do you like the fit?
Yeah, I like his mind. Everyone has great respect for the way he thinks about the game and how he tries to evolve from what he's seen before him at both college and pro, and where he's going. There's a lot out there that says, well, they've only hired him because he can work with Kaepernick. And I'm sure there's a degree of truth to that. But, I mean, you can't just hire a guy like Kelly with the price tag and just that title of head coach and have him work with one guy. You got to like what he conveys to the entire team, but in particular your offense, because that's his area of expertise. And the other thing that would probably surprise some people is that maybe he has – given up some of the I've got to have all the authority claim that he wanted and had a lot of in Philadelphia, because Trent Baalke's not going anyplace, it would appear, and he's going to have to work hand in hand with the general manager. So if those are the parameters with which he was hired, which it seems as if he was, then I think it's a pretty progressive fit for the 49ers. This is a flagship franchise. It's one of the best in pro football, and they've got a lot going on, and I just think they thought this through very. When you're dealing with a guy like Mike Shanahan, who is the other name, and Tom Coughlin, if he indeed was, thought of seriously, and they settled on Chip Kelly, that shows they were pretty thorough with some of the biggest names that are out there right now. So you say it's a feather in the hat, and they move on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a bold hire. It's a big upside, maybe. Terrible decision a couple of years from now. We don't know. I'll tell you, though, sports gets interesting, Kevin. I feel like as a talk show host, forget Chino Hills. I'm the guy who hit the Powerball with his Chip Kelly hire here. And, because things... Yeah,
so there's a lot to talk about. And the Niners are always a topic. The Raiders being held at bay, so to speak, at least for a year to see what happens with their possible move or them staying and working out a deal in the Bay Area. But obviously the Chip Kelly hiring is big, big news. And that, I think, sends a resounding note that they're serious about getting a guy with the winning pedigree, which Kelly has, and they move forward and they try to work on some things that can make this franchise once again very, very proud, because they were, in the not too distant past, they were one of the best there was in the league. And I think they feel they can get there again.
Kevin Harlan here on 95.7 The Game. I like a second chance story, and I think the story with Kelly and Kaepernick, if indeed they're working together, either sinks like a stone or takes off like a rocket. I don't think there's any chance for a gray area in between where it's just, you look at it for a few years, kick the tires. I think we're going to know quickly, like, wow, this really works with the two of them, or uh-oh.
Maybe that's how Kelly sold him. Say, hey, listen, you've invested a lot of money in this quarterback. You don't go from being a Super Bowl quarterback and the talk of the league and some experts saying this could be the best quarterback that's playing in the modern era to a guy you just kick out the door. I just don't believe that, even with the injuries. I think it just has not been a good fit since Jim Harbaugh left for a variety of reasons, which you know all too well here. So you bring in Kelly, who thinks outside the box, who's incredibly progressive, sees a guy like Kaepernick, who's still a young, moldable quarterback, realizes maybe his best suit is not in the pocket. Maybe I can make him work outside on the run, utilize that ability, and get the rest of this offense going. Too many people respect what Kelly means offensively for him to be a failure in Philadelphia and not a success in San Francisco. I think you look on the bright side. I think you look on the optimistic side and say that, you know, he learned a lot in that tenure with the Eagles. There was a lot of front office maneuvering when he was there. But maybe he comes here and that's not an issue. Say, this is what it is. This is how we draft. This is how we get this is how we make trades and get guys off the street. We're going to proceed this way. And he says, you know what? I've learned my lesson, or I see the parameters. I'm comfortable working in them. Let's move forward and go from here. And I think he's going to attract a lot of interest in what he does.
When guys sit down to do an interview, they get into interview mode. I know that you sit down with a lot of head coaches. Outside of the moment when the light goes on, what's Chip Kelly like before he knows he's in interview mode? Do you think he's an easy to get along with kind of guy?
I think he's fine. I've never met with him face-to-face. We've not had an Eagle game since he's been there. And if we had one this year, now that I go back, but I had a conflict and I couldn't get in, and Rich Gannon, my partner, interviewed him on Friday and liked him. And I think people are fascinated with the way he sees the game. And I think that, you know, a lot of these coaches are so defensive with the media and have got a certain way of dealing with it, whether you're Belichick in New England or some of the others that just are not going to reveal a great deal about themselves, then, you know, that's the kind of moat they build around them. That's the fence that is there. And I think that maybe Kelly did a little bit of that out east, but that's a tough market now. That Philadelphia market is incredibly difficult for any coach, manager, whatever, to survive in. And he did, and I think they began to realize what he was about. I know that Sal Palantonio, who covers him for ESPN, always spoke very highly of him off camera and off mic. And Sal's a pretty good judge of character. And I guess I would have to go along with him and say that you're getting a guy who is probably not much different than he was at Oregon, has had his eyes open perhaps a little bit in the NFL, and is grateful for this chance, maybe as much as the Niners are grateful that a guy of his caliber was available.
I'll tell you why it didn't work out in Philadelphia for him, Kevin. He started publicly talking about smoothies. Out here, that plays well in the media. Back east, they don't want to hear smoothies, nutrition. They're anti-vegetable, anti-taking care of the body, the temple thing out there. Here, they'll eat it all up. Obviously, you're out here tonight for the big game between the Warriors and the Lakers. Will you be framing this team coming off of that terrible loss as a fraudulent contender or a real deal? A big loss at Denver. I don't know if I can believe in this team anymore. Oh, boy, Kevin.
You sound like you're right at the brink, and I feel sorry for you, Damon. Because if you decide to say adios right now, you're going to miss what I think is going to be one of the great individual regular seasons in pro basketball, and in all likelihood, another championship. I mean, they've got it all, and they've you know, I thought that, I think it was Spates that said this last night. He said, you know, we're still learning how, you know, other guys on this team operate, move and work. And I was thinking, now they've been together for a couple years here. They've gone through a lot of postseason, a lot of practices, a lot of together time, and they feel like they're still kind of learning the ins and outs of the team, which I guess is good in some way. And I was kind of surprised by that comment, but I guess it makes sense when you take out a guy like Draymond Green, or you're playing without Curry for a couple games, or there's no Harrison Barnes, or whatever they go earlier on, Clay, and he's out, you know, you have to learn how to play a little bit differently. You get so used to the rhythm of what that other player projects on the floor. And that's, you know, that's pretty important stuff, especially guys as important as Green and Curry and Thompson. And so when Spates, you know, puts that in print and says that for everyone to hear, I think it shows that this is always an evolving story. There is never anything taken for granted. That the players themselves don't take for granted that someone's going to show up or someone's going to score. And that's the beauty of the team. I mean, it's not only the deepest team in pro basketball, and we know, like the other night, they had all the starters had a negative plus minus, and all the reserves had a plus, you know, a positive plus minus, which you rarely see. But that you know, it's constantly trying to push the other, trying to get better. And I think Chris Bosh said this the other night when Miami was in town. He said, it's one of the few teams I can recall that was a championship team, yet everyone the next year came back better.
Yeah.
How about that? And I thought that was a pretty telling comment from a guy who himself has been to four NBA championships and won two of them.
Obviously, a big part of the loss last night was Draymond Green being a healthy scratch. They're resting. And look, I understand the concept of rest, and I think Greg Popovich is a genius. I can understand something and still not like it, though. I don't like it when healthy players are rested. I just don't. I don't like it. And growing up, I don't remember the players that I watched taking nights off. Here's the time when you rest, when you're not scheduled having a game. That's when you rest.
Well, and I can appreciate that. I think everyone can appreciate that. I don't think there's anything, you know, wrong with taking a guy like Green, who's playing 35 minutes a game, who has played every game, who's not sat out, who has not, you know, had a chance to really perhaps exhale because of the way the season has gone. There's been a component gone at some time or another. There's been no Barnes, or there's been no, for a couple games, Curry, or for a couple games, you know, Klay Thompson. And you know, everyone's had to kind of fill in. And when you've become one of the most important players on the team, and as someone said the other night, I know that Steph Curry is the MVP of the league, but the MVP of the Warriors may be Draymond Green. You know, I think that's a pretty important commodity. It's not like he's playing on the perimeter all the time. He's in there, you know, getting roughed up, and he can play a physical brand, as we have seen. He's a unique player, and because of his individual rhythm and intensity and speed, other guys pick up on that. But that's a lot to put on a guy's shoulders, you know, too, is to have that kind of stress all the time. And in a long season, I guess I can understand it. We may not like it, but we can understand it. And he may not play tonight either. He may get another night off, and I could understand that, as much as I like watching him play with my own eyes, because he is a very unique, full-bodied, full-plate type of player. He gives you a little taste of everything: rebounding, defense, diving for balls, shooting outside, helping others. I mean, he fills every part of the stat sheet. And those players are rare, and yet those players exhilarate us the most. And so if they got to rest them, no one knows the players more than the coach. If they feel that way, I trust the staff, and he needs another breather. And he may not play tonight either.
And Kevin is in town because the Warriors are hosting the Lakers. It's Kobe's last game, and it's on TNT tonight. Kobe, he might miss this game. I hope he does play, if nothing else, for your telecast. I'm sure you've got a couple production meetings already here. How are you framing Kobe's last game in Oakland?
Well, like we did last week in Sacramento, he was terrific. Damon, I'm telling you, he showed at times in that game last week against the Kings, you know, that he looked like he was 27 and not 37. He was spinning on a dime, stopping on a dime, great torque, good lift, terrific shot, fadeaway, you know, the feel of what the defense was giving him, very engaged and focused. You know, he isn't taking these swan songs, these farewell arena appearances lightly. He would rather, I think, miss a home game early in the season so that he could play a game at Oracle or up in Sacramento on the road for the final time. I think he takes great pride in the fact that he wants to leave the game standing. But he's got a bad Achilles. He's got a sore shoulder. He's a physical mess right now. And so we may only get 10, 12 minutes of Kobe tonight. If he plays, I would not be surprised, because he really feels he owes it to the NBA and these visiting arenas that he's going to see for a final time to get out there and maybe give a shot or two that say, that's Kobe Bryant right there. And say thank you to the fans. He means it. He wants to be successful on the road, and he wants to play. But his body is falling apart. He knows it's time. Now, if he can just make it through the All-Star weekend and into the second half of the season and into April, then that'll be a wonderful bravo from him. and a terrific farewell and send-off that he'll give the NBA and all of its great fans.
Kevin, it's awfully tough for us to class up sports talk radio, but you make it happen every time you join us. Thank you very, very much, and enjoy your night over at Oracle.
You're a nice man. Always enjoy being on with you, Damon. Take care, and be optimistic on the Niners, and enjoy what you're watching right now at the Warriors. It doesn't happen often to see a team like that NBA squad across the bay play as well as they're playing and have that kind of talent and that kind of class as they're doing it, too. This is an organization which every single team in the league looks up to. It's a privilege to broadcast him. I'm sure as fans, it's a privilege to go watch him play.
He's the best. He's Kevin Harlan. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Take care, Damon. Thank you.
Thank you. I could listen to you read a phone book. What a voice. Kevin Harlan. He's, of course, got the call tonight. The game coming up on TNT, Warriors-Lakers. Right now, we're at halftime of Spurs and Cavaliers. Is this still Cavaliers looking pretty darn good? Of course, when I want to score, they've gone to break.
It's 50-44, so the Spurs closed the gap a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. For a team that beats everybody louder and longer than anyone, Cavaliers really showed up in San Antonio tonight. Meanwhile, Chris Townsend is on a search for headphones. I know what a man looking for headphones looks like every single time I'm on a
ride.
Oh, no, they were yours and you forgot them?
Big mistake. New headphones in a radio studio, man? Come on.
Please don't hold it against the ladies.
It's not me. I swear to you, it's not
obviously
me.
Obviously, you know it's not me.
No. Giannis.
We didn't win the Powerball, by the way, Chris.
We did not win the Powerball. Look at it this way. Do you think he'd be sweating losing the headphones if he knew that?
No.
Seriously. I haven't seen Chris this concerned since Donaldson was traded. I got to be honest with you. Maybe your headphones are in Toronto for a couple of earbuds to be named later.
Oh my God!
Might have to do a crowd tilt or like a fundraiser.
A GoFundMe. Yeah, you don't leave your cans here in the studio. It's just how it is.
Don't leave your can. Girls, protect your cans.
I do every day.
Please don't hold it against the ladies.
888-957-9570. You really do. I'll say this. Your headphones, my voice sounds so much better in your headphones than it does in my headphones. There's right. So much bass in your headphones.
Yeah, it's good. It's Sony. We'll give them props.
Are they paying you?
No, but I'm going to give them props for making a good set of headphones.
I was wondering if you got that Sony empire behind you now.
Call me.
Chip Kelly, last season, the offense of the Eagles ranked last in possession, only 26 minutes per game. The league average is 31. He's not far away from being a league average team, but that's one of the things he needs to work on. What he thought was going to be the only way to get it done, the NFL told him, might not be the best way to get it done. You have to be able to wear a lot of different hats as an offense. There's no such thing as, this is my scheme, this is what we do, this is all we do, there's no other speed than this. That's a great, great selling point when you're recruiting. That's a good selling point in college. In football, it leaves your defense tired and sucking wind in the fourth quarter. The lessons that Chip Kelly learned while he was in Philadelphia having different levels of success and failure. What he learned there is the difference between who he was there and who he'll be here. And I hope he brings the best of what he was good at and eliminates all the mistakes he made. And the first sign of something going wrong doesn't come with an internal coup for power, which certainly ran him out of Philadelphia. We'll bring it back to the Raiders for just a second with Ben in Concord, who says that Raider fans have to be disappointed in Mark Davis. Look, Mark Davis has got to be disappointed in Mark Davis. It's time for him to realize he can't do this alone. How are you, Ben?
Hey, Damon.
What do you got
Thanks
for me?
For taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Deanna. First time caller, longtime listener, and My point is this. I've been a season ticket holder since the late 90s, and I thought I was supporting the Raiders all this time. First of all, you know, I don't understand. I didn't understand how important Carson was to ownership, how important Carson was to Mark.
Yes.
Maybe you can explain that to me.
Well, look, here's a guy who was given an opportunity to maybe pair with someone who lended him the credibility he didn't have and get a stadium that he would have a little ownership stake in and give him some credibility. Now that that has been completely shut down, Mark Davis finds himself in the same situation that he was in before this whole conversation started. He's back in Oakland with no real prospects of going anywhere, and he has a year to figure it out here to get a $100 million sweetener, which really doesn't sweeten the pot at all. He comes back still, unable to know what the future holds and incapable of paying for it, even if he was told what was coming up. So you should be a little bit depressed. That NFL meeting in Houston was a gigantic come to Jesus for Mark Davis. And the Jesus that he needs to come to is the fact that he is no longer capable of shaping his own team's destiny and future, bending to his wishes. And what kind of an owner really wants to pretend that they're in charge when everyone just proved he wasn't? He's not in charge. He does not sit at the end of the table that gets things done in NFL ownership. He sits at the end of the table. I had a great line yesterday about how he's at the kiddie table still.
Right.
And someone on Twitter doubled down on it with even a better line saying, look, there's nothing wrong with the kiddie table as long as you understand that the adult table prepares everything that hits your table. So while the adults prepared what was to be served in L.A., he couldn't do anything when the plate got to his table and L.A. wasn't on his plate. Like, hey, we're all out of L.A. before you got served, but the adults eat first. Now there's this rumor that he might have procured a little land in San Antonio. Look, maybe for a vacation home. I don't think Mark Davis is capable of getting anything done on a grand scale.
Just doesn't have the means.
He is not a grand scale, big picture guy. And that's what the Raiders need. That's what Oakland needs. That's what Alameda needs. Needs a lot of cooperation. And you can't serve any more masters. The number one thing that Mark needs to really learn now is he can't serve two masters. You cannot be dedicated to Oakland while working on a project in Carson. You cannot be taken seriously back here if all of your conversations about your future don't include the word Oakland. If you want that chick to come home with you, express some interest in her. This isn't one of those like, oh, well, she'll be interested in me if I ignore her. No, that's not how it works anymore. You need to stand out. And it's time for Mark Davis to stand out in the city that he says he cares about. You know, it's one of those put your money where your mouth is, but he doesn't have enough money, so he just keeps running his mouth. Let's go to Anthony in San Francisco. What's going on, Anthony?
Yo, Damon. Good to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
It's been a while since I've talked to you. I think it was last year at Radio Row in Phoenix.
Well, I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, it's good. I heard you talking about Chip Kelly and wanted to hear from Philly fans. So you've got a Philly fan, a diehard, who's lived in the Bay Area and worked for both the Niners and the Raiders for about 15 years. So I think the Niner fans should be really, really, really excited at this hire. What happened in Philly is half the people are pissed off that he's gone and half people are glad that he's gone. So I think it's the problem with Chip Kelly, the person in Philadelphia, and not Chip Kelly, the coach.
It was a combination of everything. Look, you're a fan of the Eagles. You like the players and you like Chip. Now he's starting to trade away the players that you were rooting for, and he's replacing them with guys he says better fits his system, and then his system hits a wall with the mistakes that he made. That will cause a fan base to turn anywhere as fast as this fan base turned on Jed York when he let Jim Harbaugh go.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think another point is that you like the way, everybody wanted to hire Chip 3 years ago. Everybody wanted him. The Philly got him, and then all of a sudden, the last 2 years of Andy Reid's teams, they were 8-8 and then 4-12. Chip came in. Yes, he had Michael Vick for those first 5-6 games. He went 10-6, made the playoffs. Then he went 10-6 again and made the playoffs. And then you had a 7-9 season, and honestly, you're probably 3 or 4 kicks away from having 10 wins again.
Yeah.
I mean, the kicking in the beginning of the year was horrendous.
Not that far away from maybe being a playoff team in a winnable division, and that's another thing that burned him down. He was struggling in a division he should have ran away with, and that pissed people off even more. Thank you for the call, Anthony. When we come on back, John Middlecoff, who, of course, is one half of Haberman and Middlecoff here on 95.7 The Game, he's going to check in with us because here is someone who actually worked alongside Chip Kelly for a while. I heard him and Guy talking about it today, and I wanted to bring him on because I figured a lot of you weren't while you were at work. And there's some interesting stuff from John that we're going to get to next. I believe we're going to check in at Oracle Arena with John Dickinson before the end of this hour as well. Get you the latest from Warriors and Lakers before that tips off tonight. And more of your calls as well. Stick around. We're going to finish like a freight train here on 95.7 The Game. Enjoy the James Brown.
Baby, 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 I got the feeling, baby.
On 95.7 The Game. We're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Well, you know, right here on this very station, you can listen to Haberman and Middlecoff. And I was doing just that as I was puttering around this afternoon. And it didn't even dawn on me until they were reminding me of it, that John Middlecoff, who of all of you know used to be a scout in the NFL for the Eagles, had a working relationship with Chip Kelly. And I just thought anyone who missed some of the comments that John had, because he's actually been around the guy, should hear them. So here we go with John Middlecoff from Haberman and Middlecoff right here on 95.7 The Game. John, thanks a lot for putting down the dinner fork for a minute and joining me here. How you doing?
D. Bruce, what's going on?
Well, you tell me what is going on with Chip Kelly and why you think it would work, what you think his downfall might be. We know what it was in Philadelphia. Is he a guy who learns quickly from mistakes?
Well, let's go with why it would work. Clearly an innovative guy, a guy that can function and help quarterbacks, which I know, I mean, everyone talks about all the time is the most important thing to do in the NFL. Every quarterback he's had has gotten better under his watch. So if you can coach the quarterbacks in the National Football League, you got a chance to win games. It's really not that complicated of a formula. Why it won't work is because his spread offense, especially in this division, I mean, last year he played the NFC West. If you remember, the 49ers beat him when they came to Levi's. Seattle, Arizona got after them pretty good. They beat St. Louis, but, I mean, St. Louis is a team on the come. It's just kind of a softer offense. And for a very innovative guy, he does have some stubborn tendencies. Like, he didn't really change in Philly. You know, he was adamant about culture over scheme. He got rid of every guy that just didn't completely buy in to what he believed. And he hasn't necessarily worked with every type player from a personality standpoint. And I think we've seen in the NFL and just pro sports in general, you have to be open-minded when the guy can play. Now, you don't need a bunch of Aaron Hernandezes on your team, but sometimes guys get in a little trouble. Like, that's why Aldon Smith got, you know, hired immediately by the Raiders and turned down other teams. When you're very good, you can play. Like, you can't just cut DeSean Jackson because he won't drink your smoothie and isn't the easiest guy to deal with. And we know, watching Trent Baalke operate for the last several years, you know, character isn't the number one thing he on his checklist.
And nor should it be, because we're not in the nice guy business. We're in the badasses to win games business.
This isn't college either.
No, so it's not.
You're not teaching moral and life lessons here.
No,
this, I mean, let's call it what it is. They're paid to do a job, and they're paid to produce.
Right. They're not on scholarship representing a university's ideals.
That's my biggest question mark is just how he can operate, because philosophically, him and Trent, the way they view players, they view them completely different. Trent's, you know, I mean, he's shown time and time again that he will stick by Alden's side. You know, he'll go down swinging with him. And Alden will let him down time. But most guys in the NFL will. Maybe not as extreme as that scenario, but Chris Culliver chases a guy down the street with brass knuckles. Like, Chip hates that type crap.
Right.
Well, Aaron Lynch, the 49ers' best pass rusher, they never would have drafted in a million years in Philly.
You know, and there's a part of me that thinks that all that's well and good, but Chip should have just learned my way is not the fastest way to victory. As a matter of fact, my way completely got in the way of victory. He showed up in Philadelphia, John, saying, I'm just here to coach, not to be a GM. Within 3 years, he orchestrated an internal coup for power, which he won. When he then didn't take that power and then take full responsibility for it not working, that's when Lurie lost patience with him. Knowing the fragile ego of this office, of the Niners, do you think that Kelly can sort of, I don't know, slow his roll or at least sell them on the notion of not only am I good at what I'm doing here, but it's going to take a little bit of time. No one better get impatient. If I'm not 11-5, that doesn't mean it was a failure, Jed.
Well, I think that's clearly the most fascinating part of this whole deal. Clearly, he sold them on the fact that he learned from his mistakes. But him and Trent Baalke, I mean, are you kidding me? Are you talking oil and water? These are two of the more public divorces we've seen, I mean, in my lifetime, in NFL history. You're talking Jim Harbaugh is, you know, borderline like Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones. Like, I know Jim did not win a Super Bowl here in San Francisco, but he was historic in terms of his success. And then how public it became, the disdain everyone had for themselves in the front office. The Chip Kelly, Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie thing was the same type deal. Chip won, and then ultimately Jeffrey Lurie put the responsibility on him, but he didn't really take responsibility. Tell me this, Damon, too. Older guys, both of them, I don't know exactly how old Trent Baalke is, mid to late 40s. Chip, I think, is 50. They make a ton of money. They probably, I don't think they think they've been that wrong. Maybe Trent Baalke does a little with the Tom Sula, but the Tom Sula hire always felt a little more Yorkie than it did Baalke,
yeah.
Especially with how much time Baalke spent with Adam Gase. So I think in his mind, he thought, I was on the right guy last year. I'm open-minded to this. Like, I know what I'm doing now. And I think Chip Kelly looks like he just got screwed. Like, they didn't fire the GM when he won that coup in Philly. They kept him kind of lurking over. So there's just so many variables at play. But I can't just you can't sell me on the fact that it's just going to work personality-wise. I mean, when does that ever happen with older people that are already kind of set in their ways? There's a lot of, you know, gray area here that I think both of them are going to – that's naturally who they are, overstep their own boundaries, power-hungry, big egos. I mean, it's going to be one of the more fascinating stories in the league.
It really is.
Look at the way today played out. I mean, Niners.
Yeah, it's how about this? It's the first win-the-day moment since Harbaugh was fired. This is Jim Kelly has won his first day, and he's Mr. Win-the-Day. Tell me about how you worked for him, with him, and your impressions of him.
Well, when he first got there, he met with the staff, and he said he was open to coaching any type quarterback. He could coach from a Tom Brady type to a Michael Vick type. It didn't matter. And we just assumed, so if he got if he was coaching a Nick Foles, his offense would look like a typical, more Harbaugh-ish than what it did in Oregon. But in Philly, I mean, anyone that's watched them play the last 3 years, they always looked the same. He never really adapted, even though the quarterbacks, Michael Vick was obviously a lot different than Foles, and then Sam Bradford is somewhere in the middle. But his offense always looked the same. So for this really innovative guy, and he had some really good ideas. I think he's a really good game planner on Sunday. But he was the most stubborn, innovative guy I've ever seen because his offense never changed. Like, one thing, Bill Belichick, he's a weekly game planner. Like, you can watch the Patriots 1 week, and then you can watch them the next week. They look completely different.
Right.
Well, the Eagles always look the same offensively, which is what Chip – he is an offensive guru. Like, Chip Kelly's going to call the plays next year. They'll have a guy that's, quote-unquote, the offensive coordinator. But they hired Chip Kelly to call plays, and rightfully they should have. And I'm with you. I mean, Jed, I mean, just took a Madison Bumgarner-like hack up there at the plate. Like, it does have a high upside if he's able to be open-minded and adapt. But, I mean, no one can say for sure if he will. I would probably say no, just because most older people don't change that much.
Right.
But if he does, you know, he's got to hire a big-time defensive coordinator. They're going to need a Vic Fangio type, you know, a $2 million type, one of the best defensive coordinators, because his defenses haven't been very good. And they're going to need to find a quarterback. And anyone that follows football knows just how hard that is.
Is Chip Kelly automatically going to bring Kaepernick back? As far as you're concerned, can we pencil in Kaepernick as a week one starter right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the easy move. And if it fails, like, no one will hold that against Chip. And if he is able to resurrect him, when you can start resurrecting quarterbacks, your stock goes dramatically back up and he'd be called a genius again. So, I mean, unless financially or Kaepernick hates the 49ers so much he wants out, I'd expect him to be on the right. I expect it to be a quarterback competition. That's what he did when he first got to Philly with Michael Vick and Blaine Gabbert. It's an easy way for a new coach when you got two guys that just let them battle it out and pick whoever you want.
Yeah, see what you got there. By the way, we're going to head out to Oracle and check in with John Dickinson, which means we're going to have to play his fabulous theme song in just a minute. So we only have time for one more question here, John.
It's a good tune. It's a
great tune. Is Carlos Hyde going to be his LeSean McCoy or his DeMarco Murray?
Well, I heard you talking about it with Tony Bruno. You know, he didn't you know this, but I'm sure a lot of college football fans, Carlos Hyde got into a pretty public deal with a female at I think it was either a bar or nightclub, and was suspended by Urban Meyer. Like, Chip Kelly hates that type of stuff. They would not have drafted Carlos Hyde in Philadelphia. Now, as a player, Urban Meyer spread offense, he fits. But that's going to be guys like that. Like, is Chip going to be open-minded to work with a guy that he already has a preconceived notion of? And he's really close to Urban Meyer, so he has even more intel on a guy like Carlos Hyde. Like, it's going to be guys like that, Aaron Lynch, Carlos Hyde, because Carlos does fit the offense. But does he want to coach guys like that? And Carlos has been fine since he's been in the Bay Area. But, you know, sometimes once you get a thought in your head, especially with a stubborn type guy like Chip in terms of when it comes to players, will he just be like, oh, I'll give you a blank slate? It's easy to say that, but will he actually carry it out? I don't know. We're going to see.
He is the co-host of the 95.7 The Game show that I listen to the most. He is John Middlecoff. Thanks a lot, John. Looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to hearing more from you tomorrow. There he is.
Take it easy, man.
Thank you. John Middlecoff. Seriously, I turn them on. My favorite aspect of Haberman and Middlecoff is the two of them will argue a full radio segment even though they both agree on the same thing.
Right.
They will argue over the point they agree on for a good 8 to 12 minutes. And for some reason, it works.
It does.
It's crazy.
They've been friends for a long time.
Yeah, no, and it's real kismet. Those two kids. Hey, speaking of kids, our guy, the kid we love talking to before every single Warrior game, is John Dickinson, super reporter. We're going to check in with him as soon as we come on back. And if you're on hold, how about this? We got three callers on hold. We will get to the three callers on hold before the end of this show. No new calls. That's all we'll have time for. So if you're on hold, stay there. John Dickinson checking in from Oracle with the latest calls and the big flourish, the big finish next.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
From the text line, Coach K in Vallejo says, what if the plan is to play Gabbert, showcase him to improve his trade value this offseason? No. Chip Kelly's not going to be interested in showcasing trade value as much as he is going to be picking and identifying and playing the right quarterback.
It's about winning.
He's not going to go with the guy he doesn't want to increase trade value. And by the way, look at these trade values right now. Nobody can flip a quarterback that could be had in the offseason for a song. What, are you going to get a fifth-round pick for him? No way. No way. Let's go to AP Freeze in Hayward. What's going on, AP?
DB and G, how y'all doing?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Hey, that was my line. You guys got it. You know, the kiddie table thing. Remember AP Freeze? I'll give them to you all day, player.
That was good. That was good.
Thank you very much. Okay, so the personality conflict between Trent Baalke and Chip Kelly, I'm excited for this. It might not start during the draft, but eventually it will happen. Okay, I think Chip Kelly will turn Kaepernick again into a favored coveted quarterback. Kaepernick had skills. He can do a few things better than anybody. He can throw on the run. He can make plays with his legs. He can extend plays. He can get you a third down, third and six. He can run for those. I don't understand. He's at least the third or fourth most talented athletic player on the Niners, and they didn't
look.
Play.
I mean, here is a guy that has an incredible amount of physical talent. I think he lost his confidence. I think he was confused by the scheme. And if Kelly can make him comfortable again, put him in situations where he believes he's about to make the right play, not maybe make a mistake, now all of a sudden you got yourself a Colin Kaepernick that can win you football games again. I think it's pretty cool. Are we ready to go to JD? That can only mean one thing. Bouton, Vixen, push one of my favorite buttons in the world.
Sean Dickinson, super reporter. Big game bounties, boots on the ground. Sean Dickinson, super reporter. Where will he be now? Let's go out to JD.
He's over at Oracle Arena. John, have you seen, did they get Kobe a old Ford Model T? You know, you start with a hand crank. Did they get him a rocking chair? Did they get him a pillow? Will they be honoring Kobe in any special way before this thing starts?
Yeah, they will be honoring him with a video tribute, it's my understanding. At some point, you know, prior to tip, Kobe Bryant had made it known that he didn't want any, you know, formal gift-giving being done on the floor, you know, prior to the game. So I think it'll be the, you know, the formal announcement, much like you've seen it in Boston and Cleveland from the PA, video tribute as well, and then the gift giving to be done more privately between, my understanding is Jerry West and Bob Myers, maybe even Joe Lacob, at a time either that has either happened in the last half hour or will happen at some point after the game. But the good news for everybody involved tonight, Damon, Kobe Bryant is going to give it a go, so the Warriors and their fans will be able to pay the proper respects to him in his final year. But also some good news, Draymond Green is going to give it a go for the Warriors as well. Said he felt great, so he's back to the starting lineup.
That's good. Well, I'm glad he's going to give it a go, considering he never should have been on stop anyways. I hate resting healthy players, and that's what they did, and it cost him a game in Denver, and they know it. And they're not going to make that mistake again. Do you think the powers that be over there got any regrets over resting Draymond last night?
No, I don't think so. But the one thing Luke Walton did say, you know, when he met with the media was, you know, if his body's not hurting, there's no reason to sit him out. And I kind of thought, you know, like you did, well, then why did he sit out last night? But the issue is his body has been hurting, I guess, for quite a while. And he got some shots up today and I guess, you know, told the coaching staff and the trainers that he felt as good today as he had in quite some time. So it became apparent to the Warriors, you know, early this afternoon that he was likely going to be able to go, even though he was listed questionable. But you're right. I mean, that did cost him a game, and all of a sudden, you know, it's getting a little closer between them and San Antonio in the West.
Is there anyone else on or off the availability list that we may or may not need to know about? Everything else back to normal?
Everything back to normal other than James Michael McAdoo at this point. He is still out, but yeah, the main rotation guys for the Warriors, all good to go and available to play other than McAdoo. And I think, it comes at a good time, you know, following that loss last night to sort of, you know, try and build momentum with a win against the Lakers, which should be a formality for this team, barring any catastrophic injury. And then the road trip coming up is going to be a good one. Now, three winning Eastern Conference teams with Detroit, Cleveland, and Chicago, I think the Warriors are going to have their first maybe real extended test over the course of a week.
And you will be monitoring that extended test. You got an itinerary. You're making this road trip. You're traveling all three cities, right?
Yeah, headed out tomorrow, headed to Michigan tomorrow and Detroit, and then on to Cleveland and Chicago. And at some point, Damon, I'm going to have to get your, because I am going to have what amounts to an off day in Chicago on Tuesday. So I'm going to have to get the Damon Bruce, you know, top five must-do things on an off day in Chicago.
I'll write this down right now. People will tell you Lou Malnati's, they're wrong. Geno's East on Superior Street, that's where you go get your deep dish. Geno's East on Superior Street.
All right, done deal.
There
I will report back.
Please do. It will be your report will be filed under the headline "Delicious."
Absolutely. Although you already know, so there really isn't anything new to report. Apparently, I'll reporting it for myself.
I'm at least 20 pounds heavier than you. I'm going to go with my belly over yours. Trust me. Trust my belly. Trust the belly. Thank you very much, John.
All right, Damon. Take care.
There he is, John Dickinson. You want to play him off a little bit? Yeah, play him off.
John Dickinson, super reporter.
All right. We got to real quick go to Austin in San Jose. How are you, Austin?
Doing well, brother. D. Bruce. Voice of Reason, Gianna, voice of Angels, as usual. Thank you for the show. Real quick, since we're running against it, I think Chip Kelly is being bought low and sold high. My point is, in business, you buy low and you sell high. The Niners have a great coach. D. Bruce, what do you think? Is he humbled? Because this is the first time he's ever been fired, right? Once you've been fired, in a league full of egos, I think he's going to check himself and start to do things that are out of this world.
Look, if you think, thank you. Thank you very much, Austin. If you think you know best, and then you learn for a matter of fact that you do not know best, that has to be humbling unless you're a megalomaniac. So, yeah, I think Chip Kelly will show up as a better coach day one in San Francisco than the guy that left Philadelphia, fired before the season even ended. We'll wrap up with Alexis in San Leandro. Alexis, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
So I just wanted to speak on the whole Chip Kelly thing. I will say personally, I am an Eagles fan. My husband's a Niner fan, and as long as the Eagles are not playing the 49ers, I rooted for the 49ers. I'm not happy with it. I didn't like him technically coming initially to Philly because I didn't see the pizzazz of him. I saw the hype, but I didn't see it. And when I mean, from what I heard, Chip Kelly called the 49ers for an interview. When I heard that, I was like, that don't sound good.
So,
Alexis,
you were skeptical. Your skepticism, as far as you're concerned, was proven correct, and you remain skeptical.
Right. I mean, the thing is Chip Kelly's whole system is about this whole up-tempo offense. That's what was the pizzazz about him in Oregon. He tried it in Eagles for 3 years. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Out of a division that was, like, sketchy in itself. It's not nothing that great. And so, I mean, he totally individually demised players along with that a whole organization, you know. So I feel sorry for myself as an Eagle because I think it's going to take years to rebuild the Eagles. And I wish good luck to the 49ers because I really just don't see – I mean, like, I heard you guys say, you guys believe that maybe he had some humbling pie.
I know. You know,
for probably a week.
We got to get running here, Alexis, but I'm just going to say this right now. You take the Eagles, let your husband take the Niners, win total wins. I smell a sex bet. There should be a sex bet in your household. Thank you, Alexis and San Leandro. Sex bet.
Keep it fresh.
Can I get some points with that?
Sure.
Can I lay some points on the sex bet? Thanks so much to Tony Bruno, Darren Smith, Jason Cole, Peter King, Kevin Harlan, John Middlecoff, everyone who makes it a magic happen. I run out of time, so I can't say your names. You know who you are. Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Sex bet.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.